Chapter 24. Commissioner Gareth Ferguson stood in his dressing gown and slippers on the balcony, his long cigar clamped in his mouth. He glowered at the traffic below, as if it were personally responsible for all the inconvenience in his life. D.I. Fintan O'Rourke slid the balcony door open and stepped out to join him. Ferguson didn't turn around.
"Shut the bloody door, Fintan. Dr. Jacoby gets a whiff of cigar in his office, and I'll never hear the end of it."
As O'Rourke carefully pulled the door closed, Ferguson took the cigar out of his mouth and looked at it.
"Honest to Christ, it's only a bloody cigar. You'd think I was weeing on the man's carpet. Bloody doctors."
He resumed puffing away.
"Yes, sir," said O'Rourke.
The hem of Ferguson's hospital gown flapped in the breeze under his dressing gown.
Are you sure this is a good time for this, sir?"
Ferguson glanced briefly back at O'Rourke.
"Trust me, Fintan. There is no good time for this chat."
"I know, sir, but I mean, can I say I'm very sorry to hear of your..."
Ferguson turned to look at him.
"My what?"
"Your medical condition, sir."
"Medical con... Have you lost your damn mind, Fintan? What exactly do you think is wrong with me?"
"Well, sir, obviously you want to keep it private, which I entirely understand. I'm just sorry that..."
Fintan flapped a hand in the direction of the office he had just walked through. Ferguson turned his eyes to heaven.
"Christ! One of our country's finest deductive minds at work. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. I am here, Fintan, to get a benign cyst removed from my back. The reason I'm standing on the balcony of the office of the country's premier neurologist is that his other half is my beloved wife's bridge partner. And having one of only two balconies in this godforsaken sanctuary for sawbones, he agreed to allow me to use it to have a bloody cigar."
"Oh,
yes. So don't go popping your CV in for my job just yet. Do you know what a benign cyst is, Fintan?"
O'Rourke didn't answer, correctly guessing that it wouldn't be required.
"It is a lump of fatty, useless flesh that just sits there and does nothing except look unsightly. In that regard, it is like the last Minister for Justice, as opposed to the current one, who is a cancerous little pimple that, unless removed, will one day kill us all."
Another gust of cold wind caused the hem of Ferguson's hospital gown to flap up again. He pulled his burgundy dressing gown tighter and spat on the floor.
"And why the hell do I have to wear this undignified thing with my arse hanging out the back? I'm not in theatre for another couple of hours. What in the name of all that is good and holy is wrong with me wearing my fine silk jimmy-jams in the meantime?"
Ferguson stepped suddenly forward and looked down at O'Rourke.
"Did you just smirk, Fintan?"
"No, sir."
"Any civilized man in his right mind knows that the pajama is an unfairly maligned suit of clothing. Well may ye sleep in your nudity beneath the eyes of the Lord, like Adam in the Garden of Eden. But when your house burns down, remember, lots of strapping firemen with big hoses shall be strutting by you and the missus, while you stand there holding your worried little winky as your worldly possessions go up in smoke."
O'Rourke made sure his face was a mask of absolute sincerity.
"Thank you for the advice, sir. I shall keep it in mind."
"Yes, you bloody should, Fintan, because I don't know if you've noticed, but your damn house is on fire."
Silence reigned for a few moments, as Ferguson turned around and went back to staring at the traffic, flicking ash off the top of his cigar to dance away on the winter breeze.
How the hell did this happen?
O'Rourke pulled a notebook he didn't need out of his pocket and referred to it. At 8:43 a.m., Detective Dennis Dinny Muldoon returned home, having worked a 12-hour surveillance shift on Tommy Carter. He found his wife, Teresa, in a highly distressed state. She had just entered the bedroom of their twin babies, Jack and Georgia, to discover two teddy bears with their heads cut off and knives shoved through their hearts.
Christ, said Ferguson.
Someone had obviously broken in during the night. Teresa had been in the room at about 4:30 a.m. to check on them, and there hadn't been any signs of a disturbance. And, sir, just for context, I personally know that the Muldoons had been trying to have kids for years. She's had at least two miscarriages that I know of. Ferguson moved the cigar around in his mouth and twirled his finger in the air in a signal to continue. O'Rourke looked down at his notes again. Detective Muldoon, understandably emotional, then immediately returned to Tommy Carter's residence and assaulted him, before being restrained by Detective McGarry and Detective Sergeant Spain. Ferguson pulled the cigar out of his mouth.
And what the bloody hell were they doing that they couldn't get to the man before he got to Carter?
Sir, they... It happened fast.
Yes, said Ferguson. I believe there is a video that attests to the ferocity of Muldoon's attack.
Sir, can I...
No, Fintan, you can't. Muldoon is suspended indefinitely, without pay.
But, sir...
The blessed Garda Representative Association can, and will, kick up a fuss. And I've no doubt I'll have Sheila Appleton in my office tomorrow morning doing just that. But video killed the radio star, Fintan. And it may well do the same to Muldoon's career.
Ferguson paused and looked up at the darkening skies.
Furthermore, your task force is no longer to carry out overt surveillance on Carter and his...
O'Rourke stepped forward to push into Ferguson's eyeline.
Sir, you can't. This is exactly what he wants.
Ferguson turned, his bulk forcing O'Rourke to lean back.
And it is exactly what he gets.
But it was them.
Of course it was them, Fintan. I'm not a bloody idiot.
However,
if you had even a shred of evidence linking Carter or one of his men to this gaudy bullshit with knives and teddy bears, I'd have heard about it by now. Wouldn't I? Or are you holding out on me?
O'Rourke pursed his lips and shook his head.
Then shut up and take your medicine. Either we pull everything off him and his chums, or his solicitor gets that tape on the 6 o'clock news. The video kills us stone dead, and you know it. So don't go throwing your toys out of the pram. You got played.
But...
Pull the surveillance, now. You'll have to come up with some other way to get Carter, and it'd better be a damn sight smarter than you've been so far. This isn't a shitstorm so much as a tsunami.
Ferguson tossed his cigar butt over the ledge of the balcony, and then ignored the plaintive, Oi! That carried up from the street below.
Either find some way to move forward, or abandon this entire investigation. Either way, move fast if you want to rescue the career you're so in love with.
O'Rourke looked at the concrete floor of the balcony and briefly considered hurling one of the potted plants as far as he could over the railing.
Yes, sir.
Ferguson tightened the belt on his dressing gown again.
Now, if you'll excuse me... I have to get a perfectly harmless lump of flesh gouged out of my back, for no other reason than my sainted wife is sick of looking at it. To be honest, I think she's sick of the sight of all of me. But this bit she can do something about.
As he moved past, Ferguson stopped and lowered his voice.
If in 6 months' time Carter and Co. are up on a host of charges and bang to rights, then suddenly Detective Muldoon's situation becomes a lot more manageable, and the media would be considerably more sympathetic to his plight. As of right now, well...
Yes, sir.
In the meantime, put me down for 200 in Muldoon's collection.
O'Rourke nodded.
That's assuming I don't die at the hand of some over-enthusiastic butcher boy in the meantime.